Turn in your Bible, please, to Mark chapter 4. I'm calling this lesson Ready for Planting. And someone said if we turn out one light, it makes it better. I'm not sure which light that is. Thank you. Great. Is that better? Okay. So this is called Ready for Planting, and it has to do with the parable of the sower. Now, there are few parables that are more familiar to you than the parable of the sower. Maybe the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, but the parable of the sower is very familiar. So you might tend to say to yourself, I know all about this. I'm just going to kind of turn off and not really pay much attention to this lesson because it's so familiar. Please don't do that. For one thing, the whole parable is about listening, okay? So don't want you to do that. So here's what the parable says. This is Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 3. Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed, and some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they have no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Okay, that's the entire parable. Notice at the very beginning and at the very end, he gives us the overall message. The very beginning is the one word, listen. At the very end is the message, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Check yourself out. Do you have an ear over here? I want you to do this physically, okay? Go up and touch your right ear. Maybe pull on a little bit. Yep. Over here on this side. Yep. I got another ear over here. Jesus says, if you qualify with two ears, you need to listen to this. Okay? Now, in Luke's version, a few verses later, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Now, there are some applications to this parable that go beyond these three statements. For example, if you are an evangelist and you are concerned that you're wasting your time, the message to you from this parable is God will make it up to you by multiplying the ones that you are successful with, okay? But that message is for a specific group of people, and the main message is for the rest of us, the people who have ears to hear, okay? So we're going to focus on that overall message, that central core message of this parable. And here's an overview of the lesson. It's very simple. We're going to talk about the Old Testament background to this parable, something that probably isn't done very much when you study this parable. And then we're going to apply that to the hard soil, the rocks, and the thorns, and conclude with talking about the book of Acts and what Acts says about the bountiful harvest. Okay? So, let's talk about the Old Testament background for the sower. If I were to ask you, what book of the Old Testament says listen more than any other book, which book would it be? The answer is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says hear 23 times, and it says listen 18 times, and it says pay attention 2 more times. So that's more than 40 times. It's either saying listen, hear, or pay attention. The creedal statement of Judaism is found in Deuteronomy, and it starts out with the word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, I think it is. And so Deuteronomy is really important for listening. Now, what was going on in the book of Deuteronomy? It was 40 years after the Exodus event. A new generation had grown up. Moses was rehearsing with them everything that had happened and how they had to listen as he explained to them the law to the new generation all over again. The old generation had been very hard-headed. In fact, it reminds me of this cartoon where the doctor says to the woman, just how often are you taking those mineral supplements? Okay, and her entire head is one big crystal. That's pretty characteristic of what was going on in that generation of people who had come out of Egypt. They had become so hard-headed, so stubborn, and a big part of that was just a refusal to listen to God. Now, I did a little bit of study on this, and I have the same problem. You know, the problem is you think you know what this passage is all about, so the tendency is not to go deeper than where you are already. So I'm trying to go against that tendency by studying about this. And so I studied the word akouo, from which we get acoustics. It just means to hear or to listen. And here's what the Dictionary of New Testament Theology said about this word. It said, number one, it said, Judaism, and then derivatively Christianity, is uniquely different from all other religions of that time because of the second commandment. I think it's the second one, which is don't make for yourselves any graven images. Okay? So, in other words, all the other religions are focused on what you see. But because Judaism recognized that all of that is idols, instead the focus is on what you hear. And the message of God is not a visual experience, but an audio experience. It is a verbal message that we receive from God. And when you understand that in ancient times, whenever people read the scriptures, they read it out loud. There was no such thing as reading silently. It was always, you know, you would speak as you read the word. Then that just amplifies the whole idea of hearing the word of God and not just seeing the text. I need to get back a little farther so I can turn and see you guys over here. So, you know, the book of Deuteronomy is really working on that over and over and over again. If you go through Deuteronomy, it just is constantly saying this. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear the words of the Lord. When you were at Sinai, you heard God himself speak. And what I'm presenting to you are his words. And over and over again. And what... how that ties in with the parable of the sower is that what Moses was trying to do is the very thing Jesus is trying to do, and that is get the word of the Lord into your heart where it can take root and it can grow. Okay? Now, that's one big background for the Old Testament in this parable. Another background is the whole idea of sowing and planting and reaping that is all through the Old Testament. And I went through all the passages that talk about this and found that most of the time when the Old Testament talks about planting, it's not talking about planting the word or planting a concept in someone's heart. It's talking about planting the person themselves, or a nation. A people, an individual or a nation is planted. And that's, you know, dozens of passages in the Old Testament. For example, Psalm 1 verse 3 says, the righteous are like a tree that is planted beside the water. Okay, whatever they do will prosper. Or when God calls Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, he says, I'm going to give you as your ministry the building up and planting, or the tearing down and the uprooting of nations. Okay, and he says it again in chapter 18 when he talks about how people are like clay in the hands of the potter. And he says, I can give a prophecy about planting a nation or about uprooting it. Okay, and there are many passages like that. But when you talk about qualities or attributes, there are only a handful, and these are examples of that. Proverbs 22 verse 8 says that people who sow injustice are going to reap calamity. So the connection between sowing and reaping as a cause and effect relationship happens with sin. And Hosea says, people sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. In other words, it's an amplification of what they give out. It's going to come back to them according to God's kind of ironic justice. Hosea chapter 10 verse 13 talks about the sowing of wickedness, the reaping of evil, and there's an additional step there, the fruit of deception. In Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 7, it talks about God planting a vineyard, and he's expecting a certain kind of fruit, good fruit, but instead he only gets sour grapes, and he talks about what the sour grapes are, bloodshed and a cry. People, you know, cry out because of the injustice that they're suffering, and God says, because my vineyard is like that, I'm just going to tear the whole thing down, and I'll start over. Okay, I'm going to just throw it all away because the vineyard is so terrible. Now, those are all negative passages about sowing and reaping. There's also one positive passage, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, that talks about sowing righteousness, or it could be justice, sowing justice, and reaping the fruit of unfailing love. Isn't that beautiful? That if you sow justice, love is going to come back as the result. Okay, so all of those passages about sowing and reaping and planting and uprooting are within the background of the parable of the sower. So now we're going to deal with the hard soil, which is the path, sowing along the path. And really what we're wanting to ask, and it's not working, I'm wanting to back up one slide, please. Back up one. Bye-bye. The question is, what is the problem? Okay, what's the problem when the seed is on the path? The problem is how hard the soil is. Okay, it's not going back? Huh. Okay. The problem is the hardness of the soil, okay? And so when you understand what the problem is, then you can start addressing that and try to deal with the solution. There it is. All right, it's a good thing we didn't miss that. People have hard heads, right? And the message just bounces off. It doesn't penetrate. The message is not getting through, okay? Just to reassure you a little bit, that's painted on the back of his bald head, okay? It's painted. Pretty funny. But that's a problem. Some of us have heads made of brick. And when the Word of God is preached, or when the Word of God is taught, or when you're reading the Word of God, it just doesn't penetrate. Okay? It doesn't get through. The message bounces off your head. So what can we do about it? We have to break up the hard ground. This is a very favorite passage of many preachers, especially African-American preachers. You know, it's time for this congregation to break up the hard ground. You know, we've got to plow through the hard ground that we have. And it's not just African-American churches that have that problem. All churches have that problem. All Christians have that problem. And it's from this passage in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and this a similar passage in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, that say, "Break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." It's a beautiful passage. Now, this machine off to the right, the one that we had was called a Mantis. But it's for tilling the soil before you plant. And once we got one of those, our gardening took off. You know, we were able to, and the tiller ticked off sometimes too. We were able to do gardening much, much better because we could till the land before we planted, okay? And the Lord is saying, you have to do that. You have to do plowing in order for it to be effective. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So the implication of that is that the big problem here is arrogance or pride. Okay, if we have pride, if we have arrogance, we say, "I'm going to go my own way. I don't care what the Lord says. I don't care what God says to do. I'm going to do my own thing." Then the word is not going to come into your heart. It's not going to take root, and it's not going to grow and transform you. Okay, but what does it say in? What does it say in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, these are some of those passages that I mentioned about here that's in Deuteronomy. It says, "Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you." This is what Moses says before he quotes it. He says it again in the next chapter, 5, verse 1. In 6, verse 3, the one that has that creedal verse in it, "Hear, Israel, be careful to obey, that it may go well with you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Jesus adds, "and with all your mind." Okay? And then 27 verse 9, it says, "Be silent, Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God." Another way of translating that would be, shut up and listen. Right? Moses is getting frustrated with these people, and he's saying, you know, your talking is standing in the way of the word coming into your life and penetrating and making a difference. Okay, so that's the hard soil. Now, what about the rocks? What is the problem with the rocks? The problem is we are too shallow. We respond too quickly. We accept the word, but we really don't think through what the implications are and the effect that it's going to have in our lives. And so we make a hasty decision. It may be the right decision, but it's not really that we have counted the cost. Okay? What we need to do is count the cost. So here's what Deuteronomy says about that. This is in chapter 8, verses 17 through 19, and the operative word here is remember, Okay? So if you are remembering something, that means you're going deeper and you're thinking about it and you're pondering it and you're really, you know, weighing the possibilities. Moses says, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Okay? He's saying, remember, where did all of this come from? It came from the Lord. You know, just a little exercise. I know you found your ear on one side and on the other, but let's try this one, okay? Find your pulse. And you can do it on the left side of your head right here. You can do it on your wrist. You can do it on your heart. But find your pulse. Can you feel it? Every pulse that you have of your heart is coming from God. It's a gift from God. Okay? And God is saying, here, I'm giving you grace. Here's another pulse. Here's another beat of your life. And every gift that you have is like that. They all come as an uninterrupted flow from the throne of God. And there is no place, there is no room for us to be arrogant and for us to think we did it on our own. Now we're going on to the thorns. This is chapter 4, verse 7. He talks about the sowing on the thorns. And what's the problem here? The problem is that we are so scattered. The message has too much competition. The seed is there. It is growing. But there are other things growing too. There's thorns that are growing up among the plants that God has planted there. And the solution is for us to draw a line. And, you know, if you preach this sermon in Texas and you talk about drawing a line, everybody thinks of the Alamo, right? That's a pretty good analogy, and somebody drew that for us to remind us of what Colonel Travis did at the Alamo, you know. Decide, are you going to stay or are you going to go? Okay, and we have to make a similar life-changing, existential kind of choice. And you can see this in Deuteronomy where he says in chapter 30, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Okay? So he's saying, make this choice, and it's a choice that is going to change your life. It's a choice that is going to affect every other choice that you make. It's going to affect every other moment that you live. And that choice is to serve God and to get rid of all the weeds, to get rid of all the thorns in your life, to simplify your life, if you will, and be focused and not scattered. So the conclusion is that there is a bountiful harvest if this takes place, and especially if you compare Luke with Acts. Luke talks about in Luke chapter 8, it's Jesus' parable of the sower, and then the book of Acts shows how that word was planted in people's hearts and lives. And the good soil, Mark talks about it, or Luke, either one. Still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. That 30, 60, and 100 times multiplication seems to come from a passage in the Old Testament. The normal rate back then, given the agricultural methods they had, was six times would be a bumper crop, six times what you sow. But he's talking 30, 60, 100 times what you sow. There's one passage in the Old Testament that talks about this. It's Genesis 26, verse 12, which says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year he reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. And that last phrase is really operative or important. He reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. And in the scattering of the seed of the Word of God, the multiplying of 30, 60, and 100 times is because the Lord blesses that process. And the life that God puts into the seed, he makes to multiply when that seed lands in good soil. So we read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, chapter 12, chapter 13, here's how Luke explains it. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The word of God continued to increase and spread. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. It's like the word has a life of its own, and it is growing, and it's multiplying, and it's spreading. And that's what actually took place in the first century, and it takes place today around the world, and it's taking place here in Greenville and in this congregation. And there's another way that it happens, and that is with each individual, the word of the Lord is spreading from one person to another, and it's also spreading to different aspects of your life. So the question is not so much what kind of soil are you, might be the question that you ask yourself when you finish reading this parable. You say, well, which kind am I? Am I the hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, or the good soil? That's not really the question to ask. The question to ask is, what kind do you want to be? Okay, what kind of soil do you want to be? Because what Jesus seems to be saying is, you can change from one kind to another. Okay, you can change from being hard soil like on the path to being good soil. You can change from being rocky soil to being good soil. You can change from being thorny soil to being good soil. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do when people are sharing the word with you? Are you going to be receptive to that? Are you going to listen? Are you going to pay attention? Are you going to focus? Are you going to be humble? Are you going to be to continue to remember and to let that word have a place in your heart and in your life so that it can change? If it never penetrates, it's not going to change you. If it only stays there temporarily, it's not going to have any effect. If it is crowded out by all the other things that you have to do, that's not going to be what God wants to accomplish. But if it lands in your heart and you have prepared the soil so that it's good soil, then that word is going to multiply. It's going to, you know, another way of saying it would be, it's going to take over. It's going to take over your life, And it's going to become central to who you are and what you do and what your destiny is going to be. Thank you.